It's Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Rich. How are you?
Doing great. Nice win for the Red Sox last night. And maybe the best news out of the last few days has been Andrew Benintendi breaking out of that slump in a very big way.
Yeah, it's been big for them. And, you know, the Farrell's deploying him a little bit more strategically. He hasn't been playing against lefties in part because they want to get Chris Young in the lineup. But, you know, you didn't expect Andrew Benintendi to go through the year without slumping. The key is how fast he can get out of that slump. And you look at someone like Xander Bogaerts in 2014, was in a slump for 3 months. You know, that same year and into 2015, Mookie Betts had a less severe slump, and he kind of figured it out a little bit quicker. So you were hoping that Benintendi would be on the, you know, more on the Betts side than on the Bogart side, that he'd figure it out. It seems like he's a polished enough hitter that he can do that. You know, he's going to have ups and downs. That's the case for every single player, and it's certainly encouraging to see him bounce back, you know, within a matter of a few weeks rather than a few months.
Hanley Ramirez with a home run last night as well, and I thought you hit the nail on the head in your piece a couple of days ago. Best thing that ever happened this year to Hanley Ramirez is Pablo Sandoval.
I should credit that piece, by the way, to Bill Ballew with the Worcester Telegram, partner of Providence Journal. That wasn't my piece, but I agree with him that, you know, Ramirez has been underwhelming, especially for a full-time designated hitter. His disinclination to play first base, I guess, is sort of the most delicate way I can put it. You know, it doesn't seem like there's any motivation on his part to play first base because his shoulders are healthy enough to hit, and he hasn't played first base. Kind of puts them in a tough spot with Mitch Moreland, you know, a tough spot with the roster that they put together. Now, if he hits like David Ortiz did last year, or anything close to it, then, you know, they're fine with him as a full-time designated hitter. But if he's not that sort of level of hitter, you know, the trade-offs, you know, that they have with the roster. John Farrell has talked about being able to use guys like Bogaerts or like Betts or like, you know, Dustin Pedroia when he's healthy as a designated hitter periodically to keep their bats in the lineup, but to give them kind of half a day off to keep them from wearing down. And you can't really do that with Hanley Ramirez as a full-time DH.
Drew Pomeranz ended up getting the win last night. Was only able to get through five innings. When he can keep the pitch count down, he's terrific. That eight-inning outing the previous time out of the box. What can they do with Pomeranz to get him to become more efficient?
I don't know, because it seems like he gets a lot of foul balls. It's not like he's blocking a ton of guys. He just sometimes doesn't have that put-away pitch. I mean, in some ways, this is who he is. I mean, this has kind of been, you know, it seems like he's inherited the mantle of Clay Buchholz in terms of a guy that frustrates Red Sox fans. You know, he's a back-end starter in this rotation, and a back-end starter who keeps you in games. You know, certainly those 3- and 4-inning outings that you saw back in May, that's not acceptable. But if you're getting 5 every time, if you're getting 7 periodically, and if he's keeping you in every game, you know, it's not the most glamorous thing in the world, but that's worthwhile. And at this point, the fact that he's healthy and taking his turn and still keeping them in games, I think, is the most important thing.
You wrote about this, Brian Johnson, available to the Red Sox, and it looks like they escaped what appeared to be a more serious injury the other night.
Yeah, when he went down on the mound, and his hamstring kind of seized up when he stumbled or when the mound gave out from under him, and they would have been in a tough spot. Probably would have had to bring back Hector Velasquez had Johnson not been able to go. I don't think they know 100% that he'll pitch on Friday. I think they want to see him come out of one more throwing session healthy, but it seems like he'll pitch on Friday. And yeah, that's a big sigh of relief. Now, you know, you wouldn't have thought that Brian Johnson would feel so essential, but with the loss of Eduardo Rodriguez, with the way that Johnson pitched, you know, started Fenway Park a couple of weeks ago, you know, this is a really important piece of their pitching depth all of a sudden, because without him, they don't really have pitching depth. They, you know, Velasquez really got knocked around in his start. Kyle Kendrick got knocked around twice. If you don't have, you know, Henry Owens has not been able to throw strikes at AAA. If you don't have a healthy and effective Brian Johnson, this team all of a sudden only has 4 starters you can feel even a little bit good about.
Having said that, if they can get Eduardo Rodriguez back in a timely fashion, especially with the way David Price looked last time out, is this starting rotation as good as anybody in the division?
Oh, sure, if they get everyone healthy. But, you know, you've seen the number of starters that have gone on the DL around the game, and I don't think you can take for granted. A, you can't take for granted that Price is going to come back. You can't take for granted that Pomeranz is going to make it through the whole season. I mean, yeah, there's a ton of upside, and you're right. If everyone's healthy and clicking by the second half, this rotation looks scary. I think the best part is the way that Price looks, you know, and certainly the way Rodriguez has pitched as well, because, you know, if they can get to the playoffs, certainly the front end of the rotation looks as good as anybody. And, you know, they're struggling with their depth, but when you have Chris Sale pitching as well as he does, Rick Porcello pitching as well as he has, David Price looking like David Price, and if you can get Rodriguez back, you know, that's a really, really dangerous October rotation. They just have to find a way to get there. They have to have enough depth to get there at a time in the game where injuries are happening all over the place.
We're talking with Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Porcello gets the start tonight, and overall he's been pretty good. But, like some of his teammates early in the season, not getting a whole lot of run support.
Yeah, and he's certainly prone to give up hits. That's sort of his style, and he went through a run where he's giving up more hits than you'd like, but that can be a function of luck for a guy who pitches to contact as much as he does. And that's just, 2 years ago he gave up a lot of hits. Last year he didn't give up that many hits, and, a pitcher like that doesn't have a lot of control over where the ball goes, and that's why you've seen strikeout totals go up and up, because pitchers are pitching for the strikeout now. And even Porcello certainly is missing more bats than he used to, but, if you're not looking for him to repeat a Cy Young Award caliber season, he's having a nice year for them, and sort of like I alluded to earlier, he's an important piece of a really good rotation. If he's not the ace, if he's a number two or three guy, behind Sale and Price, this is a really good rotation.
Do you think the team, Brian, has, I don't want to say given up, but do you think they have some doubts about Jackie Bradley Jr.'s availability to be a full-time, everyday kind of guy?
I don't think so. I think that's been a little bit overplayed. I think this kind of goes back, Bradley's sitting against some lefties so that Chris Young can play. Now Benintendi's sitting against some lefties so Chris Young can play. I mean, this is sort of what the Hanley Ramirez situation has done to them, is that they've built this roster such that Chris Young would get a lot of the bats against lefties because Hanley Ramirez wouldn't be the DH in those games, and Hanley Ramirez would be the first baseman, and that's not happening now. So they're trying to find a way to keep Young involved, the guy who has been really productive against lefties in his career, been pretty productive against righties too in his Red Sox career. And, it's a matter of kind of something has to give if you're going to get Young on the field, and you might as well sit Bradley or Benintendi against a lefty if you're going to sit him against anybody. It doesn't make sense to put Young in there over Bradley against a righty. So I don't think there's that much to it. I don't think John Farrell's platooning anybody. Young is a part-time player who they want to keep involved, and he's been productive, and that just means that occasionally when they face some lefties, either Bradley or Benintendi is going to sit.
They brought up Devin Marrero because they literally had no one else to play third base, but he's played awfully well, particularly defensively. Has he been a pleasant surprise to the team and played maybe better than they expected?
Yes and no. I mean, that two-homer game is certainly something they never expected. I mean, he should be a really good defender. That was what the expectation was, that he would be a stabilizing presence defensively, and he has been that. The very first game he played, was kind of rough, so that was not a great first impression, but since then he's been quite good defensively, and that was important. But he's still hitting under 200. He's still not really any kind of threat with the bat. So they're still in a tough spot now where, against lefties, especially with Pedraia still on the shelf, they're playing Rutledge and Marrero in the same infield. That's not great. Both of those guys ought to be able to handle the job defensively, but that's a pretty shallow lineup all of a sudden when you have both of those guys. They need Sandoval to be an everyday player. They need Pedraia back healthy. They're a much better team with both of those two guys in there.
Still pretty early in the season, but as we look at these two teams, Boston and New York, and of course the Yankees are without Chapman, but who's the better team at this point in the season?
Man, that's tough to say. The Yankees certainly are interesting. I think it's reasonable that they're right there neck and neck right now. The Yankees have gotten good faster than a lot of us expected them to. Obviously Aaron Judge has taken the whole baseball world by surprise this season. And even some of their older guys like Brett Gardner has been really productive. I don't know if I would necessarily count on that happening all season. At this point, I'd probably still take the Red Sox because I think there's some regression there with the Yankees, with Judge, with Gardner, with Matt Holliday. There's some injury potential there. I feel like the Red Sox have an edge, but certainly the Yankees look scarier than they have in a couple of years, because instead of being an aging team with Mark Teixeira and, counting heavily on CeCe Sabathia, now all of a sudden they look like a young team that has some trade chips. And then, of course, once they shed some of these contracts, Jacoby Ellsbury, obviously Teixeira is already off the books, Sabathia as well. Now they're going to have the money to go after the likes of Bryce Harper in a couple of years, and all of a sudden it could be a very loaded Yankees team again.
Brian, I saw that Jerry Remy's going to make a statement during the game tonight after his comments last evening. Was that much ado about nothing?
I don't know. It was insensitive. It's not a fireable offense. It was insensitive, I think. The idea of an interpreter on the mound seems pretty inoffensive to me. And so ripping on that and saying guy needs to learn baseball language, there are so many ways in which teams are trying to put their players in the best position to succeed, and we want these guys to be in the best position to succeed, right? We want to see the performance at the highest level, and if it takes an interpreter so that Masahiro Tanaka can talk to his catcher, You know, we want to see these guys perform. We don't want a language barrier standing between them. And, you know, some people talk about, you know, come over here, learn English, whatever. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Some guys have done it very well. Some guys haven't done it so well. And, you know, what we want these guys to focus on is playing baseball. So, you know, I don't know that I agreed with his comments, but I don't know that it's a huge deal either. But it's appropriate that he's addressing it.
Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, always great talking Red Sox with you. Thanks for making time for us today.
Thanks for having me, Rich.